Today is Sunday, March 1st, 2015, and this...
The neon oasis of Las Vegas beckons. They call it Sin City for a reason.
You can definitely meet the wrong type of people, whether that be drug-related, gambling, prostitution, you name it, and you could end up, 8 miles out, 6 foot deep.
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 493.
Las Vegas!
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
We're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. You dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Honey, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. As we do every week, we're going to talk about Las Vegas and perhaps other things.
And some other things, probably.
Yeah. How are you?
You said you were feeling tantastic this morning.
I feel like I'm going to be yappy. Last week, we had a relatively short show, so I don't know. I think...
You're making up for it this week?
Possibly. I feel like I have things to say. I don't know what those things are yet, but who knows where this will go. Yes. So, yeah. Here we are talking about Vegas, one of my favorite parts of the week.
Yay.
And other people get to listen in to our little chat session, our coffee.
Is this like therapy for you?
Yeah, it kind of is in many ways. All right. So before we jump in, I just want to say thank you to everyone for all the kind comments, messages, and emails since our last show.
Yes.
We do appreciate it. If you didn't listen to the last show, we dropped some news on everybody at the end of the show and I had many, many kind comments and
words of support and encouragement because yes. A lot of people have been in the same situation.
It's very, very nice. Continue to be very blown away by how supportive our audience is. So thank you so much. It means a lot to us. Mm-hmm. And, we're getting through things. So, just takes time.
Yep.
Okay. Vegas. We're going to talk about Vegas. Lots of Westgate news this week. And we've covered some of these things before, but there are official and additional details on some of the things happening at Westgate. If you're not familiar with Westgate, that is the former Las Vegas Hilton / LVH. And I said last week I wasn't going to do that anymore, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Son of a bitch.
Oh, well.
So anyway, we talked about plans that had not yet been announced but had leaked to New York Times about a new Elvis exhibit coming to Westgate. And they were announced a few days ago. Westgate and Graceland are putting this on together, and the name of the, it's a combination of things. It's called Elvis, the Exhibition, the Show, the Experience.
Hmm.
There are several aspects of this, Elvis, the Elvising of Westgate. The exhibition is opening on April 23rd. It's going to be 25,000 square feet of memorabilia. So, it's a mini Graceland in Las Vegas, and with Elvis's history there, this is perfect. I think this is a good thing.
Yes.
You know, there have been other Elvis exhibits in Las Vegas, but this is like the official, they've got access to tons of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's not just somebody who bought a collection of their own and decided to throw it up in the back of Binion's.
I was thinking of the Binion's one also.
Yeah. This is going to be a big deal and a lot of things that people have never seen before publicly displayed. And I think a lot of it will be highlighting some of his Vegas years as well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I think it helps that they're doing it in conjunction with Graceland because they've got more access to more stuff and maybe they can rotate things.
They plan to do that, definitely. Not only with the memorabilia, but with the performance aspect, which we'll get to in a minute. I don't know if it's necessarily at the end, but as part of the experience, the exhibit, there's a 26-minute film that will be included.
Is this the experience or the exhibition?
This is the, well, I think it's kind of one and the same.
Okay.
The show is separate, however.
All right.
So there's the exhibition with the 26-minute movie, which will highlight some of his performances, and I suppose it'll be a look at his life and his performances. That's going to cost $22 for admission. It's going to be open 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. daily, as I mentioned, beginning on April 23rd. And then there's also going to be a show element to this. They're renaming the showroom. Excuse me. The Elvis Presley International Showroom. Good name. Capturing not only Elvis, but also the former hotel name, the International. Mm-hmm. They're going to have live shows 5 nights a week. They're not going to be Elvis impersonators, but they will be tribute shows. So it's not like somebody's trying to be, it's not like your cheese ball Elvis impersonator. I'm curious how they'll balance that.
Yeah.
Because
they're not pulling a guy dressed in an Elvis costume on the strip and throwing him into a showroom.
No. It's going to be a big, well, there's going to be a series of shows. They're going to have short runs. So the first one begins April 23rd and it runs through the end of May. And that one is going to be called Elvis Experience, I guess. And it's a large production show. They're going to have 24 musicians and 8 choir members. So huge. Full-on production, and it's supposed to be kind of like a reenactment in a way of an Elvis show. It's supposed to make you feel like, oh, this is what an Elvis show kind of would have been like.
Although he's not.
Yeah, so that's, I'm fuzzy on
what's the fine line between the impersonation and the tribute?
I'm kind of fuzzy on that, too. I suspect it'll be kind of impersonating. It'll be kind of like the Rat Pack is Back type thing, where kind of impersonators, but also kind of the knowing wink, like maybe some current references.
Yeah.
So that it's like, oh, we're not taking this too seriously. I don't know. We'll see. Tickets for that run between $60 and $94. So that one's not cheap. And that's a pretty good sized theater. So I'm curious how that will do. As we talked about a couple weeks ago when Scott called in and made the point about that Sinatra show, which I believe is still running at Venetian. How do you fill up a big theater and sell tickets for a high price so that you can pay all these musicians?
Right.
We'll see if they're able to maintain success or if as these shows progress, they end up scaling them back. I'm not sure. But they're going to have a different show every month or two, so that will change as well. They're also going to be adding a Graceland wedding chapel. So no shortage of Elvis-themed wedding locations in Vegas, but having
Question.
It there. Yes.
Will the Graceland wedding chapel have an Elvis officiator?
I would imagine. I would imagine they would have to, wouldn't they? I don't know. For all the details on the exhibit, you can visit graceland.com/Vegas. Learn more. You can buy tickets in advance, all that kind of stuff. They have a bunch of package deals, too. The hotel is going to have room, show, and exhibit packages. I will gladly spend the $22 to see the exhibit.
Oh, yes.
I don't think I'd shell out $60 to see the show.
Unless it got rave reviews.
If it gets raves and or discounted, I would do it. I like Elvis's music enough to sit through such a show, though.
Oh, yeah.
So that could be entertaining.
And there's still Big Elvis at Harrah's, right?
Yep. And that's free. And that guy's got amazing pipes.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And I'm sure there are still other Elvis shows.
Trent Carlini still kicking around or no?
No, I don't know where he is right now. I think he was at LVH and I don't know where he, or maybe he wasn't. There was somebody who was playing there until recently and he got the boot as part of the renovations and part of this thing. I think they wanted to bring in their own officially sanctioned acts.
Yeah.
But I would imagine he'll show up most likely in like the V Theater or something if he isn't there already. Some other changes at Westgate. As I was scoping out some info on that property and on the Elvis Experience and all that stuff, I came across another page on that website, on the Westgate website, that's tracking the changes that they're undergoing there since Westgate took over. Since Westgate took over that property, and they're already done with a few things. They've upgraded a bunch of the rooms. They have renovated a concierge lounge. They've renovated one of the bars, which is the International Bar. And then they've also opened Sid's Cafe, which I think we talked about a few weeks ago. It's their coffee shop. Among the other things listed there, and I think we've talked about several of these, but they have dates on them now. They're going to be renovating the pool area this month. There's going to be a new steakhouse called Edge Steakhouse.
Will it feature music by you too?
I don't know if there's an ownership element by
I want you two to own a steakhouse in Vegas.
When we're in Las Vegas, we love to dine at the Edge's Steakhouse. That's my really, really bad. I don't know what that is. There wasn't even an accent on that. What the hell was that?
Bono moved to the Midwest and lost his accent.
Oh, geez. Oh, geez. Oh, geez, Larry Mullen. Oh, cripes. We're going to have some steak with the Edge.
And we just lost half the audience. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Spa and health club renovations in April. The convention center is going to be remodeled in the fall. And then the big one is the remodeling of the Superbook, that ginormous sports book that I think is probably among the best. Not even probably. It is among the best in Las Vegas. That's going to be undergoing renovations in the fall as well.
I'm surprised they wouldn't do that a little earlier because fall's football season.
I think they'll probably try to have it open by then. That's my hunch. When they say fall, when it's done.
When they're starting. Okay.
I suspect they'll be working on it this summer. And maybe I'm sure they'll be able to leave parts of it open as they work on it. But they're going to make it into sort of a Legacy Stadium situation. Three levels of seating. They're going to have a new sports bar and grill. And they're going to, they definitely need to upgrade all the TVs because I remember when we were there not long ago, those were definitely outdated. So loud drinking courtesy of Zoe. Yeah, I love that. So they're going to upgrade all their technology. They're going to have private booths, stuff like that. So if you were looking for a VIP experience at that sports book, you'll be able to get that, I'm sure. But long overdue, and I think it'll be good for that to get a facelift. One other, damn, that dog is thirsty. One other Westgate-related note, there is apparently a new residency
coming. She just had a very salty snack, apparently.
An especially salty cow dick or whatever that is.
Bull penis.
Bull penis. Yeah. There's going to be a new resident show, not Elvis-related, at Westgate beginning in May. The Suzanne Show is a Suzanne Summers residency. So I would imagine she's had Vegas shows before. I think we may have talked about them several years ago. They were at the same property. Singing, dancing, I would imagine storytelling. This was reported by Robin Leach, but she retweeted it and posted it on Facebook, so I assume that means it's official.
Who's the audience for this?
I'm struggling to figure out who this appeals to.
Because it's not you.
Well, no, but I can, even if it's not me, I can usually target who the audience is for a Suzanne Summers residency. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. She's going to have some exposure because she's going to be on Dancing with the Stars this season. So I guess the timing is probably good because she'll be in the spotlight, which she really hasn't been unless you're a home shopping connoisseur. I just can't imagine that people are clamoring to see Suzanne Summers in a stage performance of any sort.
We were talking about this earlier. I was wondering if there was going to be a Thighmaster segment.
Oh, I'm sure she'll have great stories about the Thighmaster. There has to be, because she's so known for that. I mean, obviously Three's Company was the big one.
Yeah.
That ended like 40 years ago.
Oh my God.
No, it wasn't that long, but 35 years ago. It was like, that was early 80s.
Yeah. At least 30 years ago.
So I like to exaggerate. 57 years ago, it ended. Thighmaster went into probably, the mid-90s or so? And really since then, it's just been, I don't know what the hell she's been doing. She's one of those people who, how the hell has she remained famous at all? It's remarkable when you think about it, because she's not like one of the world's great talents.
Well, she's managed parlay it more than Joyce DeWitt has.
Good point.
I remember seeing True Hollywood Story or one of those type shows about Three's Company, and Joyce DeWitt
Bitter.
Came off as very crabby. Yes.
Well,
I don't know if she still is. Maybe she's let some things go. But
I'm clamoring
for
a Joyce DeWitt residency in Vegas.
Yeah.
Where would that be? The Hooters? No, that wouldn't be quite right. I don't know. Come on, Joyce. Get it going. We want to see you in Vegas. That would be the shortest live. That would be like Duck Dynasty short. They still haven't announced the closing of that yet, although it hasn't opened yet. I wouldn't be surprised. It's going to make it to opening, but anyway. Okay, moving along. Some kind of sad news. Carrie Simon, who we've mentioned a few times, great chef, has several restaurants in Las Vegas. He is very sick. And I would imagine he's going to be shutting down a couple of his restaurants. His restaurant at Palms Place, which is called Simon, and his burger place at Harrah's KGB Burger, which, as burger places go, mediocre, I would say. Mm-hmm. We've heard really good things about the restaurant at Palms Place, Simon Restaurant.
Especially their brunch.
I guess so. Carson Kitchen, which is his newest restaurant downtown. We've talked about it many times. We have enjoyed it. Many of our listeners have enjoyed it. That is remaining open.
That's good.
Yes. But I,
if I had to pick one,
because
just because of my own personal convenience.
Oh, we've experienced KGB. Yeah.
Yeah. It was good. I mean, but it wasn't
not
like,
I have to get back here. Good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like all things Hera's, you know, like a slightly less great version of something you can find elsewhere.
Yeah. I wonder if it's, because at the time that opened before he was diagnosed. So yeah. I wonder if he was focusing more attention on other restaurants.
What I understand is that the leases are up at both of these and he's decided just to let them lapse.
Yeah.
So that's part of the reason with the timing. So that's the story with that. Other restaurant news at Paris, Sugar Factory is gone. Boo. He says sarcastically. The restaurant is still there. It's just no longer a sugar factory. It's now...
I'm mostly indifferent. Partly, I say mostly because I'm still crabby that they took out the fountain and some of the aesthetic things. But they have to make money. So they're like, let's see, we can put in a restaurant that sells... that slings a bunch of chicken strips and super sugary drinks endorsed by celebrities, or we can leave this old fountain up here. They weren't really maintaining the fountain, so.
My favorite part of that restaurant was before it opened, when they had the construction wall up.
Oh, God, yes.
And it had, like, chicken wings and Paris Hilton. It was just, like, this odd combination of food and celebrities.
Uh-huh.
It always amused me.
Pasta and Kendra from...
Yeah, girl but, next door. I'd be willing to bet that no celebrities ever ate there. It wasn't like, it was like Planet Hollywood celebrity-esque. Unless they're getting paid, they're not going to show up at fucking Sugar Factory.
Right.
So anyway, some of the candy stores, the Sugar Factory candy stores are still open, so bleh, who cares?
So if you want an overpriced lollipop to take home.
Yeah. As far as the restaurant, it's now, it doesn't have a name. Paris is apparently operating it as a bar and grill, but it's an unnamed thing. So pretty soon something new will, I think it's just going to remain open. And then it'll suddenly transition into whatever it's going to become.
So it'll have like generic salads and entrees.
Well, what's the difference between a generic salad and it probably has almost the same menu. I mean, it's burgers and sandwiches and salads and stuff, but it's just not with the
branded
douchiness of Sugar Factory. It's a 24-hour restaurant. It continues to. I don't know if it was before. It is now. So there you have it. If you were a Sugar Factory fan, and I believe some of our listeners liked that place a lot.
Yeah, I think some people did. I was not one of them, but hey,
we never ate there. We never ate there. We just hated the idea behind it.
Yeah,
food might be fine.
Yeah, they have outdoor seating, right?
They do, and that's
a great view.
Yeah. Good location, and it's not as big of a patio area as Mon Ami, but if you can get an outdoor table, you're going to have some good people watching, and you're right by the fountains, so why not? A revamp has occurred at Vidara. Their bar, formerly called Bar Vidara, is now called Vice Versa Patio and Lounge, and I like the patio part of this because outdoor drinking is fun. They've added outdoor seating. They've got fire pits, so even if it's a little chilly, you can sit out there, and... The concept here with Vice Versa, they've got a couple things going on. So they're saying that by day, it's a comfortable, casual space for business and leisure. And then by night, you like my voice? Like, this is my cheeseball PR bullshit voice. By night, it transforms into a contemporary hip lounge. And then they do have food
and
drinks.
Is it like that place... at Wynn, where they change the walls and shit?
I don't think it's quite that.
Okay.
They don't even do that there anymore.
No.
That completely closed and
didn't
switch. Oh, it became part of the beach club.
That's right.
The menu for drinks and the menu for food each has a vice side and a versa side. So, for example, with the food, the vice side is sinfully small plates, and the versa side is refreshing light bites. And then drinks its sinful sips and freshly twisted cocktails. When you look at the thing, though, it's like these are not that different. They could have put anything on either side.
Yeah.
It's just a concept. Doesn't really carry through. I'm curious whether or not this bar is like more of a destination now than it was. Because we had been there a couple times and it's like, oh, this is great if we're staying there. But it's not worth going to if you're not there.
Where is the patio going to be? Is it going to be in the porte cochere, or is it?
It must be.
That's
like, where else would they put it? It's like right. It's got to be right outside. Yeah. That. So.
Not the most exciting view. No. I would say.
No. They've apparently added some sort of water feature too. I'm not sure what that entails, but I'm sure that there's some sort of shrubbery to make it nice. I do want to check this out just to see if it's something worth checking out. You know?
Yeah.
Because previously I've been completely underwhelmed with Bar Vidara.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this will make it a nicer place where it's like, oh, let's go hang out there.
I did enjoy it. Like you said, when we were staying there, we stopped in for a drink. Like, it was, I don't know, we were in between gambling and then getting ready to go to dinner or something.
Right.
And it was pleasant.
It was fine.
It wasn't any different than, hey, I'll stop in to this other hotel bar. Like, there was nothing that really set it apart.
It was a hotel lobby bar, as hotel lobby bars are in any place other than Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. It was an, oh, this is here, let's drink here.
Yeah.
Because this is where we are.
Right.
But not something to go out of the way.
The drinks were solid.
They're fine.
Yeah.
Nothing special.
But it wasn't like, oh, I have to go back for this.
Yes. So if anybody checks that out, it has already converted to Vice Versa. If anybody checks it out in the next few weeks, let us know. We'd love a report on the voicemail line.
Did you mention the happy hour?
No. I will in a second. It opens at 11 a.m. daily. It closes 1 a.m. weeknights, 2 a.m. Fridays and Saturdays. The happy hour runs from 11 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. daily.
Which is earlier than a lot of other happy hours. You could hit that one, and then you could hit one at...
That's true.
It's Aria or Cosmo or something at 5:30.
I wouldn't waste your time. It's $7 for a select, very select drinks. Like, it's like
two of the martinis, and
it doesn't even say. I think they have like one craft cocktail or maybe two that are, unless they have a special menu when you get there. But on the actual menu, it's very vague, and they have like maybe four or five food options, and they didn't look like they were anything all that special.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if I'd go out of my way for the happy hour.
Uh-huh. But you will go out of your way just to check it out, just to see what it's like.
If it coincides with happy hour, so be it. But I'm not going to rush over there just because it's before 3:30.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You'll go when it's convenient for you.
When I happen to be at gambling at Aria and need a break, that's what I will do.
Okay.
All right. Another another bar-related item. And this is speculation. This is rumor and innuendo. It has not been reported elsewhere. So this, if it comes true, this is one of those bullshit items that I'm going to throw out there. And if it comes true, we'll pretend that it matters. It's not even that big of an item. Mm-hmm. It's just, who cares? But
are you talking about an exclusive?
Is that, if it happens.
Yeah.
I just want to be able to spend 10 minutes saying, hey, remember when we first told you about it, like all the fucking Vegas bloggers do? Fucking pat yourselves on the back a little more often, you fucking jackasses.
Tell me how you really feel.
All right. Not all the Vegas bloggers do that, but
no,
you can figure out which ones do. 777 Brewpub at...
Anything ending with er.
Also, 777 Brewpub at Main Street Station. It may be undergoing a change as part of Boyd Gaming's plans to update its restaurant lineup. They have mentioned that downtown, they're aware that their restaurants and other aspects of the properties need some sprucing up. They already closed one of their restaurants, replaced one of their restaurants at the Cal. They got rid of Pasta Pirate.
It was a sad day.
They replaced, just because the name is awesome.
Yeah.
They replaced
it with...
Where are you
going to eat? I'm going to go eat a Pasta Pirate.
Yeah. They replaced it with California Noodle House, which I've heard good reviews of.
Yes.
As part of those, the lineup,
at least they replaced it with something decent, I guess.
Do not worry. They're not, to the best of our knowledge, getting rid of 777, because that's a very popular place and they do good work there.
I like 777.
Massive menu. Everything we've ever tried has been good. Food is relatively cheap. Massive portions. Mm-hmm. Good beer.
Good service.
What's not to like?
Yeah.
Well, they may be adding music, a live music aspect to that, which it's a pretty good size room, so I could see that they could have some, like, a band in there at night and maybe make it a little, not nightclubby, but a little bit more than just like a restaurant and sports bar. Here's the deal. They're planning on adding the tagline meals, music, and microbrews, and that's been trademarked. That's where I stumbled upon this. They've trademarked a new logo. Not official yet. Who knows if it'll happen for sure, but it makes sense. I can see that they would want to do that.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about this?
It's fine. It depends what the music is.
It depends on what the music is.
If I've got Kenny G standing in the corner, it's going to bum me out and ruin my fucking fries. But
this, I'm going to sound like an old person, but if it's too loud, if I'm going to a restaurant, I want to dine and converse.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to have to talk over the music. If I'm going to a concert,
yes,
I'm not really in the conversing mood. I want to listen to the music.
No, this is always...
I don't like when the two cross.
I get that. And I'm not really a big fan of loud music in restaurants either. Now, the question is, because this comes up from time to time, what about in casinos? The loud music in casinos is a controversial topic.
Yes, it is. I don't mind it as much, just because it tends to add a little energy to the place.
It depends on what vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Vibe dining. It depends.
Vibe casinos.
It depends on the casino. But yeah.
A lot of people, for example, a lot of people do not like the volume at Long Bar.
Right.
I'm fine with it.
It depends how much I've had to drink.
Yes.
My hearing sucks anyway, so you know what? You can put me in a fucking quiet room and I'll barely be able to hear what anybody's saying. When you're having a conversation with me, especially in a loud casino, and I'm nodding and smiling, you can get me to agree to wear a fucking puffy shirt because I don't know what the hell you're saying half the time. Yeah. All right. Moving along, some additional renovation news. The poker room at Mirage recently closed for four months. Mirage is doing a bunch of renovations on his casino floor. One of our listeners posted some pictures on... There's a discussion about this on our Facebook group, and somebody posted pictures of the construction walls that have gone up around the poker room, which closed about a month ago. And they're promoting, as part of their renovation, they're going to be using some of the poker room space as a parlor lounge and center bar.
Mm.
So there's new bar, loungy action coming to Mirage.
By lounge, do you mean like ultra lounge or just...
No, I believe it's going to be more of a casual.
You can have drinks
space.
And sit here paying an exorbitant price.
I think parlor lounge in the way that parlor bar at El Cortez is a lounge.
Okay.
I think that's what I'm imagining.
As opposed to like Hyde Lounge or something
like
that.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, although I don't know that for sure. The poker room is going to reopen at some point. I think it might be in a different location. It's going to be smaller than it was before.
Is the poker trend on the decline, do you think?
Well, yes. I mean, it's not going away by any means.
Poker
is still hugely popular, but...
There will always be a place for it.
It's certainly not where it was 5 years ago when poker rooms were springing up, like in any spare corner of the casino.
Roping off some tables and calling it a poker room.
Like Bally's did for several years. Theirs is actually pretty nice now.
Yeah.
Where it's off in its own area, as it should be.
Good.
And it's a distinct space and not just a little chunk of the casino floor.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it seems to be. There have been several poker room closings. Like downtown, I think the only place you can play now is Golden Nugget. They don't have it at El Cortez anymore. So,
They don't?
No, they closed that last year.
Oh.
Yep. That was a sad little poker room anyway, but at least it had some history to it. I think once Jackie was no longer able to play there every day, I think they just said, okay, there's no reason to keep this around anymore. So that is the scoop at Mirage. There's some additional changes that are going to be and are already happening at Cosmopolitan. Of course, there's a new owner there called Blackstone Group, and we've discussed some of these in the past, but I wanted to mention a couple little interesting nuggets that came out of an interview that appears in today's Las Vegas Review-Journal with one of the executives, Jonathan Gray, from Blackstone Group. Like I said, a lot of this has already been revealed. They're renovating the top four floors. Not even renovating. They're completing the top four floors of the East Tower. Those have never been finished. They're going to be like VIP high roller suites and stuff. They've also mentioned that they're going to expand bar and restaurant options, taking advantage of space that is not currently being used. But the things that I took away from this article are that only about 20% of Cosmo's revenue is coming from the casino right now, which is low compared to others.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably not completely new news. I'm sure that's we've known it's low. They're making all their money off food and beverage and hotel.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know that I'd actually seen a number before. They said 80% is from hotel and food and beverage. So I found that interesting. And then this is the most interesting part. Now, Blackstone is an investment group, and a lot of times investment groups will come in, they'll buy a property low, they'll turn it around, get it profitable and then sell it at a profit. They said they have no intention of doing that. They're in Vegas for the long term. They're not looking to flip the property. And in fact, they're looking at other strip properties so that Cosmo is not a one-off.
This intrigues me.
It intrigues me too, because first of all, it's always nice. It's a balance. I like multiple ownership. Like I like an owner to own a couple properties and have the Players Club linked. But you don't want it to be so big that it becomes Caesars or MGM,
right?
Where they own such massive parts of the strip that it kills competition. Two or three properties, fantastic.
Yes.
So I'm very curious what
which properties they're eyeing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's so many that I think would be on this on the block if the if a buyer offered the right amount of money. Mm-hmm. I think MGM, they've pretty much said that they would consider selling anything if the price is right. And Caesars would, I don't see this company buying Rio, although who knows?
Right.
That's the one everybody knows
that's
is for sale.
I always think of first.
Planet Hollywood, maybe?
Hmm.
I don't know. I hope this happens, though.
I
would like
too.
To see them. I'm curious to see what they do, too. They're focusing on the casino to make that more profitable. And I'll be curious to see what exactly they do to improve gambling conditions. Well, I don't know if they'll improve gambling conditions, but to bring in more players.
Mm-hmm.
I would expect we'll be talking a lot about Cosmo in the next year or two as things unfold. But I think, yeah, the idea that they might buy another property was like, oh, okay. Well, I didn't expect that. So there you have it. I look forward to seeing what happens. I like exciting news.
Mm-hmm.
Not that this is exciting news, but if they buy another property, it would be kind of huge.
Yeah, it would.
All right. Finally, last news item. We periodically talk about different musical events because we like music and they're interesting, you know, interesting things that make Vegas, Vegas. They have these big music festivals. The Route 91 Harvest Festival is returning to Las Vegas in October. They've announced their lineup. It's a country music festival. I don't have any samples. Don't worry.
Aw.
October 2nd to the 4th at MGM Resorts Village, which is that paved over lot across from Luxor. I think that's where it was held last year. The acts they have announced include Tim McGraw, Mark Chestnut, Keith Urban, Lady Antebellum, Florida Georgia Line, also, and several others who I'm not familiar with. You can get the full lineup and other information at Route. It's rt91harvest.com.
And you will not be fighting us for web traffic.
No. So you have to buy three-day passes. You can't buy. They don't even sell one-day passes for this thing. $200 for a three-day pass. They also have VIP tickets available. You have to go for all 3 days. That kind of sucks if you're not into the whole lineup.
Right.
It's a lot of money.
Yep.
Although, you know what? If you buy tickets to a big arena show, you're going to spend $100. So hopefully.
Or more if it's in Vegas sometimes. Yeah, so.
That's true. All right. So that's coming soon. If you're interested, if you like the country, go see it. Let's talk about our friends at Viator, shall we?
Viator. Viator. It gives you more.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. So one of the questions that we get a lot is how to save money on stuff. Actually, I think one of our voicemails about that later on. People are looking to get the most out of their Vegas buck, and Viator can help you do that. And one of the keys to getting a good deal is not waiting until like a week before your trip to try to find deals.
Mm-hmm.
You're more likely to have success if you start scoping things out early.
Yep.
So I like to... You know, once we have our dates, once we have something booked, if we're thinking about going to a show or something, I will start looking early
on. Start scouring the web.
Yeah. And same thing goes for, you know, tours and attractions and all that stuff. If you want discounts, start early. And the best way to do it with Viator is to sign up for their email list. They will not bombard you with emails. You'll get one every week or two. It's not that often. And you frequently get notifications of specials, which is really nice. Like, I'll get an email. It'll say, hey, this week in Vegas, we have this, this, and this, and these are just newly discounted. You'll also occasionally get a discount code just out of nowhere for any of the stuff they have. Sometimes it's specialized for one city or something, but more often than not, it's a discount code for anything they offer. And discounts are good, and you can save some money, and you can support our sponsor. They're awesome, and we love them.
Yes.
They have all kinds of tours, attractions, shows, experiences to make your vacation in Vegas or anywhere else that much greater. You can find all the details at Viator.com. Just sign up. I think there's a link on the front page to email deals or something, and toss them your email address and wait for the sweet, sweet deals to come in.
Mm-hmm. And again, they will not...
It won't be a daily thing for
sure. Yes, yes. They won't be like certain department stores.
Every time we discuss this specific item, we bitch about Kohl's, where I buy all my clothes.
You have been taking advantage of the Kohl's discount.
I know, but I don't need them. One a week is...
sufficient. It's
just fine. I don't need them every day. I don't need reminders every day. Mm-hmm. It's annoying. Viator is not annoying. They won't bombard you.
Yes.
Just enough to give you some good deals.
Trying to make. Yep.
Yeah. And so as we've mentioned, okay, you can go to Viator.com or you can click through our banner at 500bymidnight.com. And as we've mentioned, we get bonus credit.
We get extra credit.
Yes. So
teacher, how can I get extra credit on this assignment?
We like it when you click through our link before buying stuff at Viator. And our listeners have been doing that. So thank you very much to everybody who's been using our Viator link. And somebody is going on some sweet, sweet tours in Italy and going to Disneyland in Paris.
Nice.
I know who it is, too, because they called in. I just got their call today. It's somebody who calls in later on about something else. But they're going to be honeymooning and having a very good time in Europe. And
cool.
I'm very jealous based on the things they booked. So
Normally
I wouldn't know who books it, but I could tell from something that was said on a voicemail message that I'm not using. And so anyway, I don't know why I just went through all
way
of
to,
that.
Way to be vague.
Anyway, have a great time, Caitlin. all right. Before we get to our phone calls, of which we have some very good ones this week, our Facebook group discussion of the week is a February 21st post from CC. And I'll explain why this is my post of the week in a second. She said, I struggled finding cider on the strip last October. I really enjoy Stella, but would be happy with Strongbow or Woodchuck. Any of you know places to get one or two? And, you know, fairly basic question, but this epitomized everything I love about our Facebook group. A relatively simple question, just, hey, you know, this is something I'm looking for, I'm interested in. Mm-hmm. And within a day, there were like a dozen people who responded and said, oh, yeah, you know what? I was just there. I had Stella cider here, right? Here are places to get it.
Nice.
And suddenly, like just like that in one day, a whole list of options so that anywhere that CC goes, there will be cider.
Yay.
Yeah. And actually, I love questions about like this because when I saw it, I'm like, oh, I know there's some, I've seen enough beer menus and it's always part of the beer menu.
Yeah.
So I immediately started looking through, I take photos of beer menus half the time. Mm-hmm. So from January, I had a picture of the tag bar menu at Link, and I verified there were like half a dozen cider options there.
Ooh.
And then I looked, and then I went online and I found the Yard House menu and stuff. And essentially with cider, the key is go to any Irish bar or any beer bar.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be fine. They've got it. So several other people chimed in with suggestions too. So there's a nice comprehensive list on there, but it's not even so much the information. It was just how cool it was that somebody asked a simple question and got useful information instantly. I love that.
Yes.
So thank you to everybody who participated in that discussion and all the discussions on our Facebook group. Well, not all of them.
95% of them.
I'm getting close to the point where I need to have this is the most annoying discussion ever on our Facebook group.
No.
We're not going to do that.
No.
Yeah. Okay. Let's not talk about that. There's a link in the show notes to that discussion. And as always, you can find the group by going to facebook.com/group/500 or just search for it. You'll find it. All right. Phone calls. Let's get to them, shall we?
Sure.
All right.
Hi, this is Ben McGovern from Kansas City. My wife and I are looking to take our first trip to Vegas over St. Patrick's Day next month. Quick question for you. We were wondering if it makes sense to buy our a show ticket early, or if it makes sense to wait until, so possibly we could get half price tickets or discounted tickets once we arrive. Any input into this would be great. We'll appreciate it. Thank you very much. Bye.
A fine question. Kind of depends on what show you want to go to and how badly you're, you want to go to a specific show, mm-hmm. I would say. Some of them, like the Cirque shows, they're getting better about discounting.
Yeah.
And in the summer, you can find... They do the summer of Cirque.
Yeah.
But even so, you can find Cirque discounts on sites like Viator and some of the others mm-hmm. on occasion. What I would do if I were in your position, if there's a specific show you're looking at going to, you can go to the Tickets for Tonight website, which is the half price day of ticket vendor, and you can see the list of shows that they have that given day. Scope that out in advance and see if the show that you're interested in typically is available on there day of. And mm-hmm. if so, yeah, then why not just wait till day of?
Yep.
Unless you find a really good deal online. Now, two websites worth checking out.
Can I have a flow chart of this process, please?
It doesn't have to be that complicated. Look at Tickets for Tonight. If your show shows up in there, then you may as well wait till day of. However, two websites that I always recommend when I get this question are TravelZoo mm-hmm. and SmarterVegas.com. And they do a really good job of pulling together the better discounts out there, a lot of them, into those two concise locations. And you can find stuff there. So check those out too, and you can get advanced tickets discounted that way. We have used one of these recently mm-hmm. for an upcoming trip and got a very good deal. Yes. So you can find them that way. But again, it depends on your show. Hard to say. Some of them, like Brittany didn't discount until recently, and all of a sudden TravelZoo started offering them. But not all shows discount. Most of them do at this point. But mm-hmm. yeah, those three options will tell you what you need to know. You're looking at me like you're completely worthless. No. I find those sites very, very helpful.
Yes, you do. You saved us some money using those sites.
I try.
Oh, speaking of shows.
Yes.
Would you like to discuss the 5 minutes we watched of the Shania show?
Oh, sure. Last night on ABC, they showed one of the final Shania Twain Coliseum shows, which was, I think, recorded in November or December before her show ended. And we watched, the first 5 to 10 minutes.
Not engaging.
Not good. It was boring. And, I don't have any...
I'm not super familiar with her music. I'm familiar with the stuff that was hits.
Yeah. Her pop 10, hits.
15 years ago.
Well, that's the last time she had any hits. She hasn't put anything out since then. So, anyway... I'm not opposed to her music. Some of it's poppy. It's essentially like a slightly countrified version of Def Leppard mm-hmm. because of the Mutt Lang connection.
Yeah.
And her songs sound very much like late Def Leppard stuff, just with a female singing and with a little bit of twang to it. Mm-hmm. It was boring as shit. They had these weird between segment video clips. Like it started out with her riding horses and then she was all of a sudden levitating on a motorcycle with the video background to make it look like she was riding on this video screen. It was weird. And then she didn't seem like a very good live performer. And I'm not even talking about her voice. I'm talking about her stage presence.
Mm-hmm. There was some auto-tune going on too.
Oh yeah.
That was not good.
Yeah. So I don't think
I had higher hopes for that than what I saw.
And after, I think it was 3 songs, we're like, I can't take anymore. Mm-hmm. It's on TiVo, but I don't see myself watching it. I might forward through it to see if there's any banter so I can pull a clip for the opening of the show. But
yeah. So then we went over to the Brit Awards and you got to see Sam Smith multiple times.
We got to see Madonna fall down. That was entertaining. All right.
She got right back up and finished performing though.
She's tough. Well, she's not human anymore, so... I'm sure it didn't hurt. All right. This is the tangent section of the show, by the mm-hmm. way. There's going to be a lot of that from here on out. Okay, so last week we mentioned that Grand Bazaar Shops at Bally's would be opening, and we were looking for reports, and indeed we did get one. Actually, we got a couple, but the other one we got, I could barely make out the audio. It was all choppy and stuff, so I couldn't use it. So if you called in a Grand Bazaar Shops review and it's not here, whoever you are, please call in again from a better phone line because it was unusable, and mm-hmm. I'd like to hear your thoughts on it. But anyway, we have the thoughts of this gentleman.
Hey, how you doing? This is Lorenzo, Vegas local. I heard your last podcast and decided to check out that Bally's Bazaar. You can thank me later for doing the recon for you because it was pretty bad. During the day, it looks like government subsidized housing on an acid trip. And at night, it looks like the movie Tron threw up all over the corner of Flamingo and Las Vegas Boulevard. It really, it's almost as bad as what the corner of Treasure Island is. Avoided at all costs.
All right, there's one not so positive review mm-hmm. of Grand Bazaar Shops. I'd like to hear what when anybody who's had a chance to walk around and checked out the shops. I know it's only partially open. A lot of the stuff is not yet open. The restaurants, people are disappointed because Wahlburger is not yet open. They're barely under, the construction has barely occurred. That's going to be months before it opens. Hmm. But yeah, if anyone has a chance to look at the shops and let us know, or is there anything appealing there? Or is it expensive stuff? I'd love to know. All right. I'm sure we will be getting plenty of those in the next few weeks.
Yep. Thank you for the initial report.
Yes. Thank you, Lorenzo. We'll be hearing more from him shortly.
I like the analogy. I do as well. The Tron one, especially. Yep.
All right. Next caller, please.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. It's Brian, the regular guy, calling with my report. I'm on a recent trip. I'm at my car and getting ready to leave. As I said in my donation, my first trip since 2008. Lots of reasons why it's been that long, but it's just good to get back out here. Three nights at the B, and I'm a downtown convert. It just was more my speed, especially for a solo trip like this. I just felt really comfortable being so close to everything. I'll still probably do this trip and get fun out with more people, but a solo trip, I think, really lends itself to downtown. Everything is fine at the D, except someone was trying to get in my room last night, Friday night. I don't know if they were just drunk. It wasn't that late because I had an early flight, or if they were trying to get in, but they gave up after a while. I had called security anyway.
I hate when that happens. We've had that happen before, too, where you're in a deep sleep and all of a sudden somebody's rattling your doorknob. Mm-hmm. Freaks you the shit out. Yeah, that's unpleasant. Yeah, you're going to have that in Vegas, though. People are going to come to the wrong room after having 40 or 50 too many drinks. And, mm-hmm. Yeah, bummer. As long as they don't get in.
Yeah.
What are the chances they're going to get in, though?
Always use the little
well, they'd have thing to have over the door. They'd have to have a key that actually gets into your room, for one, and then you'd have to have your latch done. But yeah, I always use the latch regardless, because the last thing you want is a maid coming in.
Mm-hmm.
That's awkward.
Sometimes it's to protect yourself, too, if you're sleepwalking.
Let's not talk about it.
Any other issues or things that happen at any other hotel? Nothing wrong with the D, you know, running toilet once in a while. Nothing big. Room was comfortable at a Corner King, and it was nice. I subsided mainly on pizza. My rankings in order, Pizza Rock was the best by far. Chicago Burn Company had really good pizza, and Papa Pizza was good. They were all really good, so I got my fill of dough and cheese and sauce and pepperoni. And selfish. Ada La Comida, my nephew and his girlfriend live in Vegas, and we had a nice little dinner there. We just had some tacos and drinks. Nice place. I thought it was really nice. Really dark in there, so dark that they give people little flashlights after a while to look at the menu. So I thought that was interesting. Gambling mainly sucked, but, you know, that's how it goes. The Golden Nugget has a $60 buy-in poker tournament every night at 7, and that's a great value. I played 3-4 hours every night. So if you want to stretch your dollar and you like to play poker, that's a really good option. Otherwise, not much else. Saw a lot of freaks, got drunk twice in one day, you know, one of those only in Vegas things. Drank all afternoon, took a long nap, got back up and did it again. And next thing I know, I'm at the El Cortez at 2:30 playing $5 blackjack, so made it home safe and sound, getting ready to get on my flight, and hoping to make another trip next year. So thanks for everything you guys do. Bye.
All right. Thank you, sir. We're going to have a few more comments from him shortly, but a couple things I wanted to comment on with that call. The Golden Nugget Poker Tournament for $60, not specific to that tournament itself, but a couple ways to stretch your gambling dollar and make it go far. One is poker tournaments. If you're halfway decent at poker and know what you're doing, you know, you can, like he said, play for several hours on a relatively small amount of money. The other is sports betting. Put $20 or $50 on a game, and you've got 3 hours. You're essentially playing on that money, and you become very engaged in a sporting event when you have money riding on it.
Oh, yes.
So even though, like, you know, we're so-so sports fans, like, you know, we're attached to a couple teams, but we're not
the Vikings.
No, but if we have money riding on a game, we're into it.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
it's a very fun way to become a sports fan very quickly.
Oh yes.
So yeah, sports betting is, of course, you can easily lose a ton of money on sports betting too. I'm not saying that you can't, but
right. But it's a nice way to stretch your gambling budget.
Yeah. If you're looking at a way to do that might be something to consider.
Pizza rankings.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was just talking about downtown places.
Yes.
We've had all three of those.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably flip pop up in Chicago. Chicago's was good.
It depends if you like deep dish or if you want the more of a like New York style foldable thin crust.
Pizza Rock, no question.
Oh my God. We were looking at some of the stuff they've been posting and it's just...
Oh, I want all of it.
Yeah.
Love their food. We will be having that when we return.
Oh yes.
I cannot wait.
Multiple times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't have any issues with this pizza rankings. Like you said, pop up in Chicago Brewing. Chicago Brewing is at Four Queens, if you're wondering. And it was fine. I didn't dislike it.
We used to go there quite a bit, Chicago Brewing, and we just haven't for a while. It's a nice place for just like drunk food, basically.
Yeah.
Like they've got a lot of appetizers. They've got
sandwiches, the deep dish burgers,
pizzas. Yeah.
I think they have burgers. They have sandwiches and pizza. I think part of the reason we don't go there so much anymore is there's a lot more options than when we used to go there. There weren't a lot of great choices. I mean, the other pizza places didn't even exist.
Right.
That was like the only decent place to get pizza down there.
Yeah, for a while.
Yeah. So more options, it becomes less of a priority and less of, like, it's fine, but I'm not going to probably go there that often. They do a video poker at the bar, so, and it's decent.
Do they?
Yeah. Hmm. So you can play and eat or play and drink and, yeah. It's the same as what they have on the machines in the other bars.
I did not realize this.
Oh, yes.
Ooh.
Yep.
This is good information to have.
Yes, indeed. Is somebody mowing the lawn? What the hell is going on out there?
I don't know.
Is it that fucking dirt bike? I'm gonna be standing out on my lawn shaking my fist this afternoon. I can just tell. Damn you.
Yeah.
All right.
I have no idea what it is. At first, I thought it was a low-flying plane or something, but...
Oh, the other thing I wanted to comment on in Brian's call, this has nothing to do with Vegas, but it jarred a memory in me that was deeply buried. The whole thing about giving out flashlights at La Comida because it's so dark.
Yeah.
First of all, just turn up the lights a tiny bit. If you have to give up flashlights, you're doing it wrong. I get that you're trying to create an ambiance, but...
Right.
Maybe you don't have to turn them up all the way, but turn them up just a little bit so
people can see.
It's such a ridiculous solution. And it reminded me of in my former employer that I no longer work for years. This is years ago. The parking lot there had no lighting and there were meetings that were held because some of the people who worked there worked, especially in the winter when it gets dark early, they would work past when it got dark and weren't feeling super safe about walking to their cars. So there were meetings held about solutions to this. Now, obviously, the solution which ended up happening was to put up actual proper lighting in the parking lot so that it was well lit. They were automated. They came on at night. Although there was an issue because one of the neighbors, it was a residential area.
Uh-huh.
The light was angled in such a way that it was blasting into their, it was like really bright early in the morning in their kitchen, apparently.
That's no good.
No, but anyway, one of the solutions that was brought up was, let's give all the employees mag lights.
Seriously.
Uh-huh. And one of my friends who worked there at the time said, when she had heard about this, what better way to let the potential murderer know where I am by me walking out of the building alone with a flashlight. It was just like one of those stupid, completely short-sighted, on-the-cheap corporate suggestions. Yes, that place. I wish I had kept notes.
Yeah.
I would have another book.
You would.
Just all about ridiculous
corporate things.
Corporate ideas. Anyway, that's out of nowhere, but I was amused by that they're giving out flashlights to read the menu. Odd. Okay, next caller, please.
Hey, Tim Rochelle, it's Jeff and Sherry from New Hampshire. Hey, I just want you guys to know that if you guys ever want to come to Connecticut and go to Foxwood, we'll host you. All right. Sherry, do you have anything to say?
No.
Sherry's kind of quiet most right now. Okay, bye.
That's because she's upset that she's like, why are you inviting those assholes? What are you doing? Thank you for that. We appreciate it. Yes. We've had several invitations from people who live on the East Coast to provide us with tours and whatnot of the casinos in that area. And at some point we'll get there.
Someday.
Maybe we'll, if and when we do, maybe we'll have to have some sort of a little gathering like we did when we went to Atlantic City.
Yeah.
I thought, however, this would be a good opportunity to plug the website of one of our listeners that is all about gambling in the New England area. Keeps up on all the news and reviews and other stuff. Does a very good job. It is N-E, the letters N-E, timegambling.com. And Robin does a really good job with that site. And cool. Yeah, it's updated constantly and with all kinds of great information, unlike certain Las Vegas bar sites that have been in sort of a weird remission since. Not remission. There's nothing going on with that fucking site. I'll get to it. I've got a book to finish.
Did your site have kidney cancer?
I think it might not have survived kidney cancer because, yeah, I'll get there. I just, low priority right now, but It will return in its glory at some point. Anyway, anytime.
Glory to begin with.
Anytime. It was award winning. Anytimegambling.com is the place to go for New England gambling news. And thanks for the invitation, Jeff and Sherry. We do appreciate it. All righty. Next caller, please.
Hi, Tim and Michelle. This is Mac from Missouri, and just got back from a recent trip to Vegas. Stayed at the Tropicana. They bill it as the all-new Tropicana, but kind of felt old to me. It's just average in every way. Just the rooms are average, TV's average, fitness rooms average, casinos average. It's an okay Vegas experience, but if you want to, truly treat yourself, I would definitely stay somewhere nicer.
Let's talk about that for a moment. So the whole thing with Tropicana, yes, I wouldn't consider it like a treat or a way to spoil myself by any means. However, where Tropicana, its strong point is it's a good value. What you're getting as far as the room there for the price is pretty good. They're relatively new. They were you should have seen that hotel 7 years ago. It was in such disrepair, and they've done a very, very nice job of sprucing it up from what it used to be. But yeah, it's not a top of the line Las Vegas casino, but it's a decent mid tier value. Mm-hmm. I still recommend it for that. But
I would say if you're choosing to stay between there, Luxor and Excalibur, definitely Tropicana.
I would agree. Yeah. So, all right, continuing on.
Anyway, I had a phenomenal meal at Michael Mina at Bellagio. First time to this restaurant, and definitely won't be the last time. It was great service, and great food. They had a 5-course tasting menu for $110, and we first looked at it, we thought it'd be too expensive, so we passed, but we definitely should have done it. Everything we tried was excellent, and it would have been good to try some different dishes as well. So I highly recommend Michael Mina.
Did we do a tasting menu when we ate there? I feel like we did.
I think so.
It wasn't a 5-course thing, I don't think, but no. I think we did some sort
maybe
of
a 3-course.
Yeah, it was like a prefix where you choose from several options for each course.
And it was delicious.
Yeah, I kind of forgot about that place, but it was really good. I did really enjoy it. Was that for a birthday or something?
It was for your birthday.
Oh, there you go. It was the most memorable birthday dinner ever.
I don't think so.
But it was good. I'd go back.
Also ate at DeFara, on the other end of the scale, ate at DeFara Pizza at Caesars in that new food court, and it was really good. It was maybe with the greasiest pizza I ever had, but also one of the tastiest. I thought it was far superior to Secret Pizza. I had the meat lovers, and it was really, really good. I probably could have eaten another couple slices, and I'm not sure my cholesterol would have taken it, though. Also went to Emeralds at MGM, second time to this restaurant, and both of the times I've kind of been severely disappointed. Just the service and the food. I just find the food's extremely expensive for what you get there, and both times I've really been let down. So I'm not sure what's going on over there, but it wasn't very good. And the last experience I had is I went to RM Seafood. Actually went there two different nights, and it was really good both times. They have a seafood sampler for an appetizer where you get a whole mixture of seafood, and it's really good, and they give you plenty of food. They're not cheap with that. So anyway, really enjoyed the show, and can't wait for Tim's book to come out. Thanks, bye.
Yeah, me too. thank you very much for that. Emeralds, should we mention the Emeralds thing?
Briefly.
Measles measles outbreak there. There have been four
the fish
cases.
Fish house at MGM.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Might want to not, well.
Get your shots, motherfuckers.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what we're going to say.
Yes.
I hope that. All that noise outside isn't too loud for people.
I'm hoping not too.
It's driving
me fucking nuts.
What the hell's going on?
I don't know what's going on.
I'm gonna go out there and kick some ass later.
So, RM Seafood. We went there for lunch.
We did, and it was quite good.
Delicious.
I would go back there for sure.
Yeah,
that's at Mandalay Place.
Yep.
Yeah, man. Right. Yes.
And we mentioned Michael Mina. What did you think of Emeralds when we went there? Have we been there twice or just once?
Either way, it was a long time ago. It was fine. It's not on the top of the list to return. It was all right, but
I remember they really packed people in. Like your seating area was very close to other people who were beside you, so it was just.
I know they've remodeled a couple times since then, so hopefully they've maybe fixed that a little bit. But I don't know. It's not something when we're talking about restaurant options that even comes to mind.
Up anymore. Yeah.
I don't know.
I think again, it was one of those things where it was a pretty big deal at the time, and now it's just one of many options.
That was still pretty early on the celebrity chef. Kind of thing in Las Vegas, and now every restaurant's got a celebrity chef. And you know, Emeril was a big deal then because he was on TV all the time, and just like, oh, we got to try his food. It was fine, but yeah, like you said, I don't see myself necessarily going back there anytime soon. Of course, how many times have I said I don't intend to go somewhere, and then next trip we find ourselves there?
Yeah, exactly. You
know? Do we have anything for our next trip that I've said I definitely will not do that you know that we're probably going to end up doing?
Not off the top of my head,
like the Guy Fieri thing. I will never go there.
Next trip. Go there. Guess next where trip. We went. Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. Let's hear from Lorenzo again.
Hey, how you doing? This is Lorenzo, Vegas local again. I just want to make a clarification based on a podcast that you put out, two ago, about the hockey team coming to Vegas, the 10,000 goal for signups for season tickets. You guys have talked about how a lot of those are probably casinos buying them up ahead of time. Well, that's actually not the case because the Maloof brothers are actually kind of the big guys heading up the whole fund, gathered up the names. And part of the stipulation, the agreement of getting those 10,000 signatures was that they all had to be local, verified local. So that is not the casinos at all. So they didn't buy up a box of those tickets. That's all locals that made up those numbers so far. So I just wanted to put that out there. We look forward to seeing the hockey team. It's going to happen, and we're going to love it. We're going to have a lot of fans in town. Thanks a lot. Bye.
All right. Good to know. Thanks for that. Appreciate that information. So I guess they're up to 7,000 now, so things have slowed down dramatically after that initial push. Hopefully they'll get there. I don't know.
Yeah.
It slowed down, and the momentum isn't as huge as it was a few weeks ago, but I'm still fairly optimistic they'll probably end up getting it done.
Yeah.
All righty. Brian, what's up?
Hey, Tim and Michelle, it's Brian again. I forgot one thing. I don't know why anybody wouldn't take the Beltrans VIP shuttle. I did that after hearing about it on the show. Downtown, there's $38 round trip. I know they say you might have to share a car, but the guy who took me from the hotel to the airport Saturday morning said he's been doing it for 3 years and he's never had anyone share because it's so under the radar that you're always going to get your own car. So I had a town car from the airport to the D. I had an SUV from the D back to the airport. And I had an early flight, so the guy took me down the strip. We got an early start, so got to drive down the strip 6 o'clock in the morning. It's pretty cool. And it's just such an amazing deal. I forget what the strip price is, but $38 round trip, door-to-door. They're right there. You don't have to wait in A-line. You don't have to cram in the van. It's just a no-brainer, so I think more people should take advantage of that. Thanks.
All right. Yes, so we've talked about this a few times, and it's been a popular option amongst listeners. It's sort of a limo option, but sort of a slightly lesser of a limo option because it's not the full thing where they greet you at baggage and bring your bags to the car and all that. There's a little bit more to it, but if you're traveling alone especially, it's a good deal. It is per person, so it's $38 round trip to downtown, 28 on the strip, but that's per person. So,
cab will usually cost you about $30 one way downtown.
Yeah. So even if you're with two people, it's not a bad deal. Mm-hmm. One person, it's a great deal.
Yeah.
And you can find the info on this at bell-trans.com. Go to the airport shuttle page and look for the VIP service banner and click on that to book. It's a good deal. And what else is there to say? There's something else to say about that. I don't know what it is. Glad that Brian had a good experience with it. Most people have had good experience with it.
Yeah.
It's not quite as efficient.
Wait a little bit because they have to call the person.
Sometimes.
If they're not in the vicinity.
Yeah. But I would consider doing that again.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how that works if you're switching hotels and you're not going to be downtown or on the strip, like you're moving from one to the other.
Oh, I don't know.
because it's a little different than round trip. You'd probably have to pay the higher rate.
Yeah.
But even still, might not be that bad. Okay, final call of the week.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. This is Caitlin and Cord from Phoenix. That was Cord saying hi. We're the ones getting married next month, and we are out here in Vegas right now trying to navigate stupid freaking Caesars. We have gone up and down those damn escalators, I don't know, four times, because they have and an elevator and a staircase, actually two staircases, just to try to get into the stupid shop, because they have it blocked off. I don't know why. I'm guessing they're renovating or adding more.
I know why. It's because they're Caesars and they're stupid.
There you go. There's your answer. But it is fucking ridiculous, you guys. I know you guys love Caesars, so I'm sorry for this degrading message. There we go. Okay, now I found it. Oh my gosh, they have it blocked off to where you can't go down the escalator that you used to be able to go down to get into the shop, and then they have no access.
The stupid little no access hallway right there where the guy is standing there makes you feel like a criminal.
It's like a little, look at this. We could have gone right through.
Could have gone right through. Right through, right there. I see it. I'm looking at the guy.
So stupid.
Look at me. Hi. Oh. Yes, you didn't let me through.
Also, we're stone cold sober, so that makes it all the better.
Oh, it makes it worse. It makes it a lot worse.
Okay. Anyway, I just thought I would share that with you guys, knowing how much you just love Caesars, because now we're on the exact same page you are. Love you guys. Hope you guys are doing okay. And we'll talk to you soon.
All right. She had the same tone that you get when you're hangry and something isn't going quite right.
Yes.
It's like, I'm trying to get into the Caesars shops and I can't do it. I love that. Thank you,
Caitlin. It's not happening and I'm getting pissed off. Yes. I can relate.
I don't exactly know what was going on there, but is it the swirly
escalator? The swirly escalator? Yeah.
Because then you're already kind of in the shops.
Those are a pain in the ass anyway.
I know. I hate that whole setup. You have to walk around the whole... I feel your pain.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you're in a fucking mall. That's the worst. Oh, they were trying to get to the mall, so I don't know what that was all about. All righty. Before we go, our Amazon.com listener purchase of the week. I went with the new re-released deluxe version of Led Zeppelin's Physical Graffiti CD set, bonus tracks, completely remastered. Jimmy Page has been remastering the Led Zeppelin albums, and if you're a Zeppelin fan and you haven't heard those, holy shit. It's like listening to a whole, it's completely different.
Nice.
I'm on the verge of a major Zeppelin binge.
Complete with singing along.
I know, I was singing a little bit too last night. I'm not going to do that now, but $19 for the new set, and it's great, and they remastered the first six albums, I think. Zeppelin 1 through 4, Houses of the Holy, and Physical Graffiti. I'm hoping that Jimmy Page, once he gets through with Led Zeppelin remasters, starts going on to his other projects. Because who doesn't want remastered versions of The Firm and Honey Drippers albums?
Oh, me.
And then he'll... And then, of course, Coverdale Page.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants... That's got to be out of... Well, out of print doesn't really happen anymore now that everything's online. And then at some point, he's just going to move on to like bands that sound like Led Zeppelin. So he'll remaster all the Whitesnake albums and the Kingdom Come catalog. So that's what we have to look forward to from Jimmy Page. And I can't wait. Thank you to everybody who's been clicking on our Amazon link to buy Led Zeppelin CDs and other cool stuff. We do appreciate it. You click on our link before adding things to your shopping cart and we get a small cut. It's an easy way to support the show and it makes us love you even more. Thank you also to so many people this week who have thrown us some PayPal karma donations. Guy with a karma donation.
Is his name Guy or are you just noting
that it's a guy?
Yeah.
I think his name is actually Guy.
Okay. Thanks, yeah. Guy.
Unless it's Guy. It could be Guy. It's like Guy Savoie.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go with Guy on this one.
All right.
Yep. Karma donation. He said it worked last time. He got a royal flush.
Yay.
So we hope you duplicate that
thank
luck.
Thank you. And I hope it works again.
We have a couple recurring monthly karma donators. I want to thank them, Carl and Michael.
Thank you
to both
very
of
much.
You. I think there's another one too, but it cycles through at a different time. So we'll get to that in a different week. John from Royce City, Texas with a karma donation for he's been posting a Durant, Oklahoma casino trip. Did we mention that last week?
I don't think we did.
Okay. Well, it was this weekend.
And I would like to apologize to John for your harshness on Facebook.
We've emailed since. Oh, because he posted a reference to a drinking vessel that we shall not speak its name.
But thank you. I hope you had a very successful trip.
He was working on it. Last time we emailed, I said, I hope.
I didn't realize there was a casino in Durant.
Apparently there is. All right. Another Karma donation. This one from Christopher. I hate the one thing I hate about the PayPal stuff is, you know, I see somebody's, I don't know if he goes by Chris or Christopher. Sometimes it just gives like their official registered name. So Chris, Christopher, whatever you go by. he said he started listening to the show with episode 450 about a month ago. And those were the kidney episodes when I was out of commish.
Yes.
And he's almost caught up to, what are we on? 493?
Yeah.
That's pretty good in a month. That's a lot of shows. And he said he's been going on an annual Vegas trip for the past 7 or 8 years, and now he has a big old list of things to try thanks to our podcast. Good. So that's really cool. Glad that you're getting a lot out of it. So have a great time. He's got a trip planned for a few days from now, and we hope you have a good time. Yay, and thanks for the Karma donation, and good luck.
Have a good time. Good luck on your gambling.
Michael is heading to Vegas today for a trip with his dad. That's awesome.
Cool.
Father-son trip. Very cool. Staying at Bally's, and we'll report on the Grand Bazaar Shop. Great. We can't wait to hear. I'm so curious. I know that some people will like it. I'd love to get positive reviews, too. Mm-hmm. Even though we've been shitting on it, we haven't seen it yet. Mm-hmm. We may very well love it. It wouldn't be the first time we've been turned around on something. That's going to happen.
I don't think that's going to happen either. But especially because it involves shopping, and
that's true. You
know. Yeah. Well, thank you, Michael. Good luck.
Yep. Thanks for the kind words as well. We do appreciate it.
Thank you.
And then Andy from Atlanta with a Karma donation for a May trip. He said he's been enjoying the podcast for 5 years and hasn't had a winning trip the whole time. So he's decided to try the Karma donation thing. We hope that it works out for you.
I hope so.
That's great. Thank you so much. We do appreciate all the support. It means the world to us, and you're all very, 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 very kind. And again, thank you so much for all the kind words by email and everything else. We do appreciate it. All right. You can find our website at 500bymidnight.com. You can email Dear Tim and Michelle questions to 500@gmail.com. We're going to start. I know I've been saying this for a while, but I've been accumulating them. Maybe we'll do a massive Dear Tim and Michelle show sometime. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You can find us on Twitter. I am 500. She's Anita Martini. Of course, our voicemail line is available to you anytime, day or night, at 702-866-9494. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We do appreciate it, and we will be back with another show very soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.